Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy, and I host the show, and today I have a really great guest on. He is an author, and he has written a book called The Awakening, 13 Steps on the Ultimate Journey, and his name is Michael Robbins. So, Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Nancy. Glad to be here.
That's great. Now, Michael, let's talk a little bit about who Michael is and what prompted you actually to write your book.
Well, I live in Florida, and I'm 69, and about 7 years ago, I wrote a book called Entertaining Enlightenment, which is basically the same book, 13 Steps on the Ultimate Journey, and my story basically is somehow life was busy and never got it published, and other things came along. And about a month ago, I had kind of dipped down into forgetting about what the book was all about. And I was leading kind of a normal life, watching, eating a lot, sleeping a lot, watching a lot of TV. Ultimate Fighting, too, which is very strange to me. I don't like fighting. And then I got an email from James Twyman inviting me to enter the next top author contest. Well, that, and then I read I entered that, and then I read a book by Sasha Exarian, which really electrified me. And then I started reading my book again. And, boy, since then it's been an upward surge. Every day gets better, and I'm so excited about life, and it keeps on improving. So that's kind of a story in encapsulation there.
Michael, do you think a lot of people right now, considering the state of the economy and just energy in general, are having a rough time with kind of staying ahead and waking up and being in a good mood? Do you find that most people seem to be very depressed at this time?
I think there is a lot of worry, a lot of concern. You see it on the news. You do hear people talking about it. And it's going to, I think it's going to get worse because there's a choice at this juncture. The light is coming into the planet stronger and stronger every day. It's easier to advance into enlightenment and to awareness than it ever has been, because the light has never been so present so powerfully. Also, though, however, if we're not aligned with that energy, if we're in our egos, which is our personal minds, which are basically fear-based, it's going to get harder and harder to be in the third dimension. So, yes, I think there is an outpouring of wisdom and invitation for humanity to come up into its greatness, because everybody has that within them. Everybody is the light energy. They've just been shut off from it by conditioning, by past, by what the world teaches them, and it's very difficult in the world without that awareness. So I think there's a revolution going on. It's an underground revolution, but it's reaching out to the world, to many people who are not happy, to say, hey, you don't have to be that way. You can shift, and your life can be wonderful.
The hardest thing is that people have a very hard time having, you know, getting things that they want, you know, being who they think they should be, you know, and I find with all the consultations that I do, Michael, there are a lot of people who haven't quite figured out how to get out of their ego yet, even though they don't believe that they're in an ego. You know, I don't think they quite understand the ego, you know, part versus the intuitive part. And I think the more that people can understand that there's a difference there, and it's not that you can't have any ego at all, but you just can't let the ego control that. Mm-hmm. I call it the heart smart part, which is from your heart, really is going to be the deciding factor you know, if you get to move ahead or if you kind of fall by the wayside. And I think people are very afraid of, you know, making adjustments because they really, really have a hard time, one, making an adjustment or taking the responsibility to make an adjustment, however it's going to turn out. And I think people need to change that because if they don't, you know, that growth that really is coming in, and we, like you said, we have a choice, but that energy, Michael, it is going to come in and it's going to be here, and people need to make a choice from their heart, not, you know, from logic side or what people are telling them. And I think until they figure that out, there's going to be a lot of problems with, you know, people in the world today. What do you think about that?
Oh, absolutely. The ego is, I mean, everybody has an ego, and that's fine. The problem is, not, as you say, not to be led by it because it's fear-based. And the strange thing about it, humanity has been in that trap for millions of years. It's so stubborn. It would rather be right and in control than happy. It fears the unknown, and the unknown is other than they know. So they're almost choosing the misery rather than explore the unknown, which is really wonderful. Everybody has such an option for magnificent. Everybody is wonderful in their essence. It's just that the ego, and only listening to that, shuts that door and closes it down. And because it's fear-based, it's very difficult, has been very difficult for people to step outside that.
Oh, it is. You know, I do my own quote, and one of the quotes that I constantly tell everybody is, if you keep your head buried in the sand long enough, you're really going to get your butt kicked hard because that's the only thing going. You know? And people laugh like you do, and they go, you know, that makes a little bit of sense. No, but the idea is really for the people to move forward, because this is a great time. Although, you know, we're told 2012 is destruction, the world's going to end, you know, and that's not true. You know, the part that's going to end is what we know today to be fact is not going to be fact, you know, which is a good thing, not a bad thing. You know, because it is a very big awakening, you know, just like your book, you know, The Awakening. But let's talk a little bit, because what we're talking about actually, Michael, leads in to the 13 steps in your book. And so we're going to kind of take them one at a time. Not that we're going to try to give, you know, your book away so people don't have to buy it, but just we'll do little brief things for those 13 steps so people kind of understand. So your first step that you have in your book is called desire. Why does somebody need to have desire? And well, first, what does desire mean, and why does somebody have to have it?
It's the motivating energy. You have to want your life to be better. You need that drive. You need that passion. It begins there, because if you don't have that, if you just settle for the status quo, it doesn't go anyplace.
Which is very true, and I agree with that. And then the next one is called create space. So what does create space mean, and why does that help?
Well, there's a relationship between actually physical space. People, if they went through their drawers, would find so many things they don't need, old, used, broken. So there's a correlation between mental and emotional space and spiritual space. And so it's just a process of cleaning out, and you'd be amazed at what happens to fill in. So it's just making room, more room for change.
Okay. And a thing that I believe in a lot, and I don't know if a lot of people understand this, is breath. You know, breathing is good, not just to sustain life, but breathing is good. So why is it so good, Michael?
Well, the breath, I mean, my goodness, if you held your breath for a minute and a half, you'd be climbing the walls. It is so precious, it is so dear, it is so essential to life, yet most people are completely unconscious of it, and they breathe very shallowly. So there's a power in the breath if you actually breathe intelligently, awarely, and there are types of breaths which are extraordinary, which, you know, really open up your energy and your power. So breath is definitely an aspect of awakening. It's an enormous field, and there are enormous potentials. On 333, it came to me that I was to be an awakener of people, and I was given a gift or given a process called a divine activation. And I've shared this with several people, and breath is a very, very, certain kinds of breath that we use are very, very powerful mechanisms for transformation, for bringing up things that are suppressed in the subconscious into the body for healing and transformation. So breath is very essential.
Okay, and then the next one, they kind of go hand in hand, but I think people have a real hard time with that, and it's called pray and have faith, because people tend to pray, and then they don't believe that they're going to get it. So how can you help with that?
Well, the book really is about identification. First off, it clarifies prayer. Of course, prayer and wanting things, give me this, give me this, it doesn't work that way. They're praying to a God that doesn't exist. The laws of the universe are attraction. You have to be the vibration of what you want to have it come to you. So there's a lot of misunderstanding about prayer. And faith occurs when you know who you are. You're created in the image of God. When you know that, you know your power, and you also know the laws of the universe that you have to align with. So it's hard to have faith when you're living in the ego because it doesn't have the connection with the power inside of you. So the book is all about, pray and have faith. Yes, ask, but know that you're given because you are so loved by the source, you are so one with the source, that whatever you ask for, you're given actually all the time, but people don't realize that it comes from their subconscious minds, and you have to build within your subconscious mind a vibration of what you want to attract in the outer world, and then it will absolutely work. That's the law of attraction.
Yeah, see, I call that the inside job, because everybody's always looking on the outside to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
And trust
right.
me, it doesn't work like that. It truly is an inside job. But see, I also have a problem, I have to tell you this, with the way religion is taught. Because, prayer and faith are good, but the way it's taught is not good. Because they keep you living in fear, making you think sometimes that you really are not worthy. And so I have a little problem with that aspect. I believe in the higher source, but I have a really tough time believing in the way religion is taught as organized religion. And that's just me, okay? Because I believe that you are put here to have everything that you want. You do have to ask for it and already accept that you have it and say thank you while you're praying, because most people ask for things and they're not really thanking them for it because somewhere in their mind, they don't get it, so they need to thank them as their prayer is going on. Otherwise, it's like, okay, well, it'll come, but it'll come whenever we want it to come, So I have a little problem with the way religion, keeps people kind of in their little boxes, So maybe you might want to comment on that.
Oh, absolutely. There are some people in religion that grow beyond the limitations, but for the most part, it's been used to disempower people, to disconnect them from who they are. Jesus said, what I've done, you shall do in greater things. How many people believe such a thing even after they've read it so many times? Because I and my Father are one. That's the truth of everybody. And if you're looking for somebody else to do it for you, as religion often promises, it's not going to happen. Because what I have done, you shall do. Not somebody's going to do it. I'm going to do it. So, yes, absolutely. That's been part of the darkness and control and disempowerment of humanity. Religion has done that, and I mean, look at its bloody history. It's who it's killed. If you say anything in defiance of what it is, but anyway, it's a new period, and the new period is I have no animosity for anyone or anything. I see mistakes that have been made. But love goes everywhere because love is triumphant.
Yeah, and that's coming down just a little bit later. But one thing that you just said, Michael, is that you have no animosity. And I don't either, because I think it's really a waste of energy. But I do understand that with the media that is out there, they constantly, and I mean constantly, make it so you have to hate somebody or something. Mm-hmm. So I have to tell everybody, turn off the television, turn off the radio, go inside, be who you need to be, and then maybe later, if you're really bored or you're just kind of being nosy, turn it back on, but then turn it back off, you know. Mm-hmm. So, it's a control factor.
Absolutely.
Now, the other one that you have in your book is called Be Still. And now, a lot of people don't understand that, because when you tell them to be still, they think that just means stop talking. It doesn't mean clearing their mind. So,
No. Can
you explain that one a little bit, too?
Well, who people are is the space in between thoughts, in the silence. That's where we find ourselves, and the world is completely counter to that, because every busy, they're watching, they're thinking, they're doing, it's all outer, and they miss the inner, which is where they are. So be still is learning how to go to a place of quietness, and it takes practice. All this we're talking about doesn't just happen. You have to have the desire. And you have to, transform yourself. But the transformation is so wonderful. It's so worth any effort to do that.
I'm going to apologize to the listeners, because I'm in New Mexico and we have this humongous windstorm going on. So if they're hearing whistling in the background, I'm not whistling the tune. It's the wind outside, and I can't do a lot about that. But it'll pass eventually, so just as an apology for the listeners. The be still thing, does that necessarily mean that they have to sit and meditate for hours and hours and hours?
No. And I did that years and years ago. I had a guru and I meditated for hours and I was miserable, because one of my steps later is meditation, and I help people find the meditation that suits them, because I'm a moving kind of person. I mean, in a shorter time. So there's a unique connection for everybody, and it isn't necessarily in the ways that are traditional and what you think you have to do. So it's a discovery.
Yeah, and it's a big discovery, because a lot of people think they have to sit and meditate for hours and hours and hours.
No.
It's kind of funny. Mine just happens. It's like I can be sitting still, and all of a sudden it'll just go there. So I'm a little bit easier with that. Now, you also have a part called Appreciation and Be Grateful. I find, Michael, before I let you explain this, that people have a very hard time being grateful or appreciate their experiences that they have gone through. So with that, maybe explain how that could help.
Well, appreciation is wonderful, because everything is vibration, and that's a very open and powerful vibration to be grateful. And everybody has something to be grateful for, and it's a wonderful thing to focus on, because, I mean, no matter what's going on, you have the gift of life, and you're here, and you might as well enjoy it, and you'll enjoy it better if you're thankful that you have the life. It's just a matter of focus. Most people's attention is simply on the reactive, egoic mind, and it's a fear-based mind. It's blind, and it leads to lower vibrations. It simply needs a shift, and gratefulness is definitely a means of making that shift. And actually, when you really learn what life's about, there isn't anything that happens that isn't a gift. Once a person, that may seem totally incredible, but I'm talking about in a cosmic, in a larger universal sense than the human perspective. I'm talking about in a divine perspective, which humans can have. When you have that, then you learn from the challenges and you grow. And they're gifts to show you that you're putting your attention in the wrong place. And, life is so amazing and so wonderful and so fantastic when you understand it. When you don't understand it, it's quite miserable, quite degrading, and full of suffering.
And I think, Michael, right now, because a lot of people aren't understanding, whether they're choosing to or not to choose to, most of the people are pretty miserable. But it's getting better, because I've noticed that, again, with the consultations I do. The other thing I was going to say is that, you know, people, no matter what the experience is, whether it's a good one, an in-between one, or a bad one, it's still an experience that needs to be grateful for, because if nothing else, if you're where you need to be, you will learn from that, and you will grow from that experience. And some experiences are very, very hard, and people go, oh, God, I can't get through this. I don't know what I'm going to do. And then, you know, a couple months later, they look at themselves and they go, well, I did make it through there. So when that awakening happens for you people, pat yourself on the back and say, hey, yeah, this is the way it should be, and just keep going. Okay, so that's real important, I think. Now, love. Love is very important. One of the things I find, Michael, is that people have lost how to love. In other words, they don't really know how to love at this point, you know, from whatever reason or for whatever, you know, might be causing it. So how can people get back to that?
Well, once again, my whole book is really about taking back your real identity. And once that happens, it's very easy to love. Because you're not limited, you're not blocked by all the challenges of the personal mind. I mean, love is what the universe is. I mean, love is what life is. I mean, God loves, and it doesn't love you if you're a good guy and not love you if you're a bad guy. It's unconditional love. It's just the way things are. And when you learn that and learn how to love unconditionally, then you're in alignment with life. And then life becomes beautiful, exciting, delightful, full of joy and full of interest. I mean, so much is waiting for everyone. And everyone will get there. It's just a matter of time and a matter of choice. You can put it off for a long time, or you can get there relatively quickly. It's up to the individual's choice.
Michael, do you think it's real important for people first to learn how to love themselves? Because if you can't really love yourself, I would think it'd be very hard to try to find love anyplace else.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the ticket. And again, that's what the book's about. It's about understanding your identity, who you are. It's not your body. It's not your mind. It's not your feelings. You're beyond that. You're much greater than that. And if you can go back to that ultimate reality of self, of true self, well, love is just a natural flow. Again, you can't do it from the ego. Ego is fear-based suffering. A real self is love, power, freedom, joy, everything wonderful there is.
I tell people it's actually a lot of fun, because just watching the looks on people's faces when I say this or hearing their comment afterwards, I tell them, every time you look in a mirror, just look right deep into your own eyes and say to yourself, I like me. I love me. And, you know, the look on people's faces when I tell them that, when they're in front of me, it's like, what? I'm supposed to do that? And then the ones that are by phone, they go, well, I don't know if I can do that. I say, it's real simple. Just walk past the mirror, smile, and say, I like me. I love me. And just do it on a constant basis. You'd be surprised how much that is going to help you, you know, get through things, do better decisions, you know, come from within. I said, just try it. You know, what do you got to lose to try it? You know, and then I get back comments like, you know, I've been doing it now, Nancy, for a month or two, and, you know, it feels pretty good. It's, well, yeah, it does feel good, you know. So I think it's funny, you know, how some people have a very tough time really liking and loving themselves. And I know that a lot of people have excess baggage, but still, you know, they can't change that. They can only work through it and get done with it. Now, Michael, where can people, first of all, give out the title for your book again, and then let people know where they can go to get it. And then before we continue, let's talk a little bit about the voting that's going on.
Okay. The book is called Awakening, 13 Steps to Love, Freedom, and Power. And you can go to my website, which is michaellrobins.com. And then Robbins has one B, Michael, L-R-O-B-I-N-S, Robbins.com. And they can even get a free first chapter there to see how that feels. And then the book is only like $13 as an ebook, so it's a godsend. It's a wonderful thing for very inexpensive price. Now the contest, which is called the Next Top Author, and it's a spiritual author. There were 2,000 people in the contest. Wow, that's like amazing that there are that many people that want to get a message out. And the winner of the contest will get the book published by Hampton Roads. In fact, the voting is on now. My email is at my website, and if they'll email me, I'll send them the link to vote. I'd like that. I'm going to publish, get out and get this book out anyway, no matter what, but I certainly would like the $50,000 advertising and the publication by Hampton Roads. That would be helpful and beneficial, and I would enjoy that.
I'm sure. I wrote a book. It's called Raised by Angels. It's my autobiography, but I found out that the reason why I had to write it is that it's a self-help book for anybody who reads it, which I didn't understand because I didn't want to write it. And I would argue constantly with my angels, my voices coming through going, "You're going to write your book. And I go, "No, I'm not." And they go, "Yes, you're going to write your book." And I go, "No, everybody has a story. I'm not writing mine." And they just bombarded me, Michael, over and over again, and they were like downloading me like I was a computer as to what I was going to put in the book. And it just bugged me to no end. And finally I said, to them, "If I do this, will you just be quiet for a little while? You don't have to go away. Just be quiet." So I got this smiley face image, in my mind. So I sat down, and I don't get along with computers, and they don't like me. So they lock up. They do strange things. But I sat down. I looked at the clock at 10 o'clock at night. The next time I looked at the clock was 5 a.m. in the morning. The computer never locked up, and I had a bunch of things written. I had no idea what I wrote because I didn't read it. It's like, okay, you wrote it, so it's got to be good, so I don't need to read it. So they did that to me about 3 times, and my book was done. And it's funny because I don't promote it. I don't push it. I just let people know that it's there if they want it because, it is actually a really good self-help book. I finally read most of it because I put colored pictures in there. So to where I had to put colored pictures, I had to read it. And it actually made a lot of sense. I thought, that's pretty cool. You guys did a great job, But, they're kind of fun. And everybody does have a story, and that's really the best thing. If people can just sit down and write their story, they may look at themselves and go, I've not been such a bad person. I've not been so bad with my life. They may get a whole different perspective of who they are, which I think would be great. Now there's a couple other things that really caught my eye with your 13 steps. And it's stuff that people, I know they know, Michael, but I don't know if they know how to do it. And one is to let the awareness of oneness prevail. People have a hard time thinking that they are made, just in the image of God and just like Him, can do the same thing. They have a hard time with that. Why do you think people have such a hard time believing that?
Well, it goes back to the ego. The ego sees everything as separate. Everything appears separate. They don't see the underlying electronic light energy because you can't see it with the physical eyes. It doesn't exist. So, if I can't see it, it doesn't exist. But the reality of the world is science is bringing to the new physics, quantum physics, and the ancient mystical knowledge is that all life is energy, and you have to experience that. And once you do, then you know that we're all one, that you and I are the same being in a different form, because there's only one form, there's only one life, there's only one existence. Again, you just have to begin to open your mind to more than you know. And then you're on the journey, and then it's wonderful. And one of the things in my book, one of the things I promise to people, if they get my book, they can dialogue with other people And they'll also can ask me questions and get their direct responses to their concerns about their journey. So that's a nice additional benefit to purchasing the book, is to have support and assistance in your transformational journey.
That is very important. Now, the other one that people have a really hard time with, Michael, and I hear it all the time when I talk with them, and that's to forgive. And, you know, it's really hard for people because, again, I think they tend to hold on to what they know, no matter how painful it may be. So can you maybe help people understand how to forgive?
Well, it's hard for people because they have such good reasons not to. But they have to understand that it's a double-edged sword. What you do to others comes back to you. So if there's anger in you towards others, you get the anger as well. So with that understanding, if you have that understanding, it's all it requires is that one little bit of understanding that you're wounding yourself and separating yourself from your love and from your power, then prayer comes in a lot. Please help me. Please help me release this. That's a start and a stepping stone. But first you have to have the understanding why it's good and why it's valuable. If you don't have that, you have the ego justification that you feel righteous, like, you know, that you get an energy rush from that. People do, but it also harms them. So they have to have understanding of what the process is.
Yeah, again, I think people have a really hard time with that because a lot of the people that I talk with, I actually have them do a little, it's not a little thing, it's a pretty big thing, it's pretty major. But, you know, I have them actually be all alone with no interruptions of any kind, and I mean any kind, no doorbells, no phone calls, no people, no animals, no kids, no potty trips, no interruptions. Then they got to think back to the very first time that they had any hurt, pain, anger, or guilt, wherever it came from. And then from that point forward, all the way to the day, that day, they handwrite themselves a letter talking about all the hurts, the pains, the angers, and guilt that they have gone through, including things that they themselves have done or things that they themselves are ashamed of or whatever the case may be, and nobody, and I mean nobody, sees this letter. And the end result is that they end up rereading it a little bit later and then burn it, which is really, really good because most people who do it, they have really, really good results. And I hear about it because it's like, if they don't do it, I hear from them again, and then I keep telling them the same thing over and over again. And I ask them, did you do the letter? And they go, no. But the ones who have done it, it's almost like a 360-degree change, which is pretty interesting
right.
because it's letting go. It's forgiving. It's, you know, not holding on to all of that icky gunk that is not helping them in any shape, way, or form, only bringing them down. So, you know, there's little things like that I think that are pretty, you know, pretty good for people to do. You know,
another thing you can, oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
You stop. Another thing you can do with that is have people write with their non-dominant hand because and that's hard, but how they feel about that because that brings the inner child out. And that's one of the things that I do with this divine purpose activation that came to me. The breath work brings up the painful things of the inner child into the body, and that when that's healed, people feel so much better. So your exercise actually does go to the place that needs to be brought up because it's underground and people aren't aware how much it's hurting them and wounding them and keeping them in a difficult place. So these are all strategies to bring those things in for healing.
Yeah, the other thing, I don't think people realize, Michael, that whatever they hold on to, that next group of, you know, children or whoever are probably going to go through the same thing because that's what they see. And so I try to point out to people, somebody needs to break this pattern because they have told me, oh, well, yeah, that's kind of how my mom was, or that's how my dad was. And, you know, and I look at it and I go, that's probably how your whole family has been for a long time. So somebody needs to break the pattern. Why not let it be you? You know, you have kids. They're going to do what they see, and if they see that same thing like you did, they're going to just keep going on and on and on with it, and, you know, it's never, ever ending, and it's time that it end.
That's powerful because that gives them the motivation. they care about their children, sometimes mm-hmm. even more about themselves. And that's a motivating factor. So that's a good good way of focusing people.
Yeah, I mean, and people look at me like, what? And all I do is say to them, well, think back. What did you see growing up, and what are you now doing? You know, you didn't like maybe like the way your dad was, but you picked a husband like him, or you maybe you didn't like, you know, your mom, but you picked a wife like her. You know, it will keep reoccurring like that until you are aware of it and don't want it any longer, and then we'll release it. You know, so it does take a little bit of time, a little bit of practice, but it works. You know, it kind of gets to the point. Now, you talk about in your book, you talk about service, dreams, and envision. Why is that so important?
Well, service is the nature of the universe, and if you want to be happy, you need to align with the universe. I mean, there are angels, and there are masters, and there are higher dimensions, and there are and their whole focus is service and helping us raise up, and hopefully when we do, they can go on to a next step. But the universe is dedicated to service. So if you want to be happy, you need to serve. You need to help, you know, give your gift to others. And what's the other two things?
Dream and envision.
Yeah, dream and vision. And dream, if you don't have a dream, if you don't have a passion, if you don't have something that you desire to be more than you are, life isn't got the fizzle. It doesn't have the juice that it's meant to have. Everybody has a gift, and you need to find it and give it, and that makes for a different world. And that's when you do that. When you have your gift and you have your vision, man, you wake up every day and life is exciting. Life is wonderful, and everybody has that. And so that's what we're both about, is really encouraging people to discover the richness of themselves and of their life. And why not? Why not?
I agree. And then we talked a little bit about meditation, because like I said, I know there are people who sit and believe that they need to just meditate, and it's going to make it all okay. But I'm like you, Michael. I don't agree with that, because I can't sit there without my mind going someplace else, because it's probably got better things to do, you know. And so a lot of people, when it comes to meditation, they do have a very hard time, you know, sitting there for longer than probably 10, 15 minutes max, and then work up to it. So if somebody wanted to meditate, what would be your key on telling them how to accomplish that?
Don't do it any longer than you enjoy, for starters. Just make a connection. Make a connection with yourself. Make a connection with your source. Just ask for it and take it by degrees and enjoy it. Just enjoy the time. Do something, be someplace that feels good. Don't make yourself sit and strain. And I mean, that doesn't work. It simply is, again, old school. This is simple, new way. It's about connection. I make a lot of suggestions in the book about possibilities. Try them. See what you like. See what you enjoy. Maybe running's a connection for you. Maybe dancing's a connection for you. Maybe yoga's a connection for you. You know, it's like, it just depends upon the person. Don't take something because it's revered as the great thing. It may not be for you. You have to find your own way.
I totally agree with that one. Michael, give out the name of your book again and where people can go to get it.
Thank you. The book is called Awakening, 13 Steps to Love, Freedom, and Power. And they can get it at my website, Michael L. Robbins, RobinsRobins.com. You can also get a free first chapter, and they can also go there and get my email. And please vote for me in the contest, because it does something for me. It does something for the world, because my book really could make a tremendous difference in the world. I mean, can you imagine what the world will be like? When people are living from the soul level of their magnificence and finding their gifts and sharing them with each other. It's just absolutely, I mean, it's mind-boggling. It's so fantastic, and it's the nature and design of the universe. And so let's take a step, you know, take a step forward and make a better life for yourself.
I think that's real important, Michael, because the question that you asked, wouldn't it be great? It would be so great just having peace, you know, peacefulness, love, you know, not having to have all that negative energy constantly pull you down, you know, and be able to share, you know, the love and the peace and just create it, you know, because for every person you give it out to, they're going to turn around and give it to another one. And it's just going to be a chain reaction once people understand it and once they're not afraid to, you know, love, hope, dream, and be peaceful. You know, those are things that people go, oh, yeah, right, look at this world today. You ever think that's going to happen? Well, yeah, it is. And you can be part of it or you don't have to be. But being part of it would be great because then you'd understand what life truly is all about, like you're saying, Michael. You know, so that's very important. I do want to ask you, when did you start, at what age did you start noticing that your intuitiveness and you might be thinking a little bit different than a lot of other people, maybe your age? What age was that?
I think that in my 20s, late 20s, kind of, I did a very radical thing in my life. I was finishing my doctorate for my PhD at the University of Wisconsin. I wrote the PhD on Chaucer, Middle English, and they said, you're not done. You got to revise it. And I said, I'm done. I had been in college for 10 years, and I took off on the road, and I lived on the road for 12 years, basically without working. Mm-hmm. That was a transformation, and that's really when I got to be a very different kind of person.
Again, it's good that you did, because if not, you probably would not have written your book. Now,
oh, it's wonderful education, that 12 years on the road.
Yeah, it usually works well. Now, for the breath work, you know, that you do, do you want people to contact you by phone, or do you just rather have them contact you through your website?
Either way would be fine. I'd gladly give out my phone number, 386-427-4617. Or through the website, either way, welcome any communication.
You know, I think it's important that people understand that there is a person at the end of the phone call or at the end of the website, because so many times today, everything is so automated that if you call, you don't get a live person. And I think it's very important that people are there live so that the ones who need to talk at that moment actually have a chance to talk at that moment rather than so push button 2 or push button 4. Leave me. Okay. So give out your phone number once again, but give it out a little bit slower so people have a chance to write it down.
Okay. 386-427-4617. And I do welcome any conversation because it's such a joy for me. This is what I love, uplifting people, helping people on their journey. It's a delight. I found my calling as you have found yours, Nancy, and I know you must love what you do, don't you?
I really like what I do. You have no idea how much enjoyment I get.
I'm sure I do, because I do too. And we do. And I might tell people there are communities too that you can join where people are like this. I discovered it myself. I mean, I had no friends for 7 years because nobody was interested in what I was interested in. I didn't want to talk about all those things that people often talk about that aren't of any interest or value to me. But I'm finding huge communities on the internet, Facebook. I mean, there's an incredible world of connection out there. So there's a lot of support, and there are different worlds from the worlds that a lot of people live in that they're welcome into to discover.
Michael, how would people get to your Facebook page?
Well, Michael Robbins, and there, I mean, it's a long number, but if you go to Facebook and type in Michael Robbins, my picture is like an older guy. I'm 69 with a smiley face. you'll find me.
Okay.
And that's Robbins with one B.
One B, yeah, because that's what people want to spell it with two.
Yeah.
But it's one B. So it's Robins, just the one B. And you also talked about the three Michaels. What's the three Michaels?
Makes me laugh. We just, a bunch of guys on Facebook, and we found each other. And I actually was talking to one, Michael Steele, who was a friend of mine 5 years ago, and I found him on the internet by chance on another place called Share a Miracle. And right below him, I was writing in, his name was, we hooked up again, and then I was communicating with him, and we found this Michael in Barbados, and I was saying, we should have a trinity of Michaels, and it turns out this guy is a minister of Trinity Church, and it was on 333, and he was 33 years old when he found Trinity Church. And now we're in the three Michael contest at Global Talk Radio. You can vote if you go to globaltalkradio.com, globaltalkradio.com. We're in the contest for a radio show, and it's at the top of the list. Please go and vote for the three Michaels. So it's just hilarious. It's just when you get in sync, everything in your life works. And there's synchronicities, there's miracles, there's abundance, there's friendship. I mean, you name it. Life is supposed to be a wonderful experience. All you have to do is understand how to do that. And so I just feel so privileged and so happy to be able to share this wealth with people more and more.
I have a question for you, Michael. I actually moved to New Mexico to help out children because I think they're being screwed royally here, okay?
Yeah.
Because I have a problem with the ADD, ADHD medication that they're giving out to 2.5-year-old children all the way through until you're into your adult, you know. And to me, it's a big scam. And I'm not saying people don't need help, but there are other ways to do things besides the medication that they're giving. So do you think that if we started with children at a very early age to help them understand that they are, you know, one with the God, that they are great and they have all these benefits, do you think that that would help the world that's coming and all these children that are here and still yet to come? Do you think it would help them out?
Massively. I mean, because it's so much easier. They're so much closer to that connection. They come into a world which is blind to it, so and wants to blind them. I mean, birth itself has become a surgical procedure, and the effects of that upon people are outrageous. The wounding that happens in that unnatural process. So absolutely, and what you're doing, Nancy, I think you like tell your listeners about it again, because what you have a vision and you want to help these children in a way that's really profound and would really make a radical change in the world and in children. Please tell people about what the project you have.
Well, see, I actually have a 501c3 called Child's Miracle Mind, Inc., but the project is called the School of Now. And the reason why it was named like that, it's all been channeled to me through my angels. The reason why it was named like that is because it's a school they have told me that will never be outdated, number one. And if you turn now around, it spells one, W-O-N. So it's actually a big winner. The other thing is that I found out that they are giving 2.5-year-old children Ritalin, and to me that is just horrible because their mind is still growing. But the school is actually a live-in school and a day school. It will accommodate 500 students when it's done K through high school. And it's made totally different than any school system that we have, including Waldorf and Montessori, because it has got some of their stuff with it, but it's a lot more because it goes further than that. Like each child will have a numerology chart, an astrology chart done in a consultation with me. And not only the child, but the parents too, the entire family. So we know why that child might be what they're doing or who they are, and, you know, base it on that. And then the children will actually be put in compatible classrooms with other children like them, not according to first grade, second grade, third grade, but according to who that individual child is and what their needs are and where they're at in their life at the moment and how we can help improve it. And it's a totally green school. In other words, it's run by solar and wind, and it'll be off the grid, which is another good thing. It's built out of 19 monolithic domes. I don't have it built yet. I'm still looking for funding. But it's the safest buildings being built in the world today, according to FEMA. They've already withstood tornadoes, hurricanes, floods, fire, and earthquakes. So this school is designed to last for centuries, not just years. And it's going to be very unique when it's all done. And there'll be, once a month, there'll be a special instructor that comes in that teaches their specialty. Like, for example, you, Michael, you would be coming in and teaching how they can be who they need to be by following your 13 steps.
I love that so much.
You know, so every month there will be a different instructor that comes in like that, you know, with a different kind of specialty, even including survival, you know.
Wow.
And the classes are not where the kids have to sit there for an hour at a time. They are 20-minute increments, which means 20 minutes of class, a 7 to 10-minute break all day long so that they cannot get, you know, defocused or get upset. They actually get up, move around, talk to their friends, do whatever they want, as long as it's not destructive. So it's based on a whole total different system. And I just, you know, found out that I was donated land in Belen, New Mexico, which is about 15 minutes from where I live in Las Lunas. I just have to get the legal papers all signed. But they donated 22.59 acres to have this school built.
Wow.
You know, so, and the other thing, that because of this school, there is not any facet of employment that I cannot use and need from the time I start and continue on. So it's a very, very big project, and I'm very excited about it, and I won't give up. And right now, what I'm doing to try to create money is I'm raffling off a Harley-Davidson motorcycle, okay? It's like $25. The bike's worth about $16,000 to $18,000.
Wow.
And they can go to my website and get all that. And my website is for the Child's Miracle Mind is www.childsmiraclemind.org. Just about everything I told you is on there. But, Michael, let's get back to you for just a second. Do you have another
book? Before you do that, I just want to say it touches my heart, your project. That's so beautiful. That's such a magnificent vision and so needed. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And I really hope that it touches a lot of other people's hearts, too, because believe me, I need all the help I can get at the moment to create that money.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not cheap, let me tell you. But it's okay. It'll come. I know it.
Uh-huh.
You know, but do you have another book in mind?
Not yet, but I will, because I'm a writer and I'm growing and I'm transforming at such a rate that there's going to be lots of things to write. But at this point, I'm actually still working on my book because I still keep on revising it, making it better all the time.
Mm-hmm. Which is important because people change, and as they change, the book needs to change also.
Right.
So one more time, Michael, before we got to go off, give out the name of your book, your website, your phone number, everything you want to have the people know in order to get a hold of you, and the voting thing.
Okay. Michael L. Robbins, robins.com. You can get a free chapter there. You can buy the book there for only $13. You can also get my email. You are a great one, too. U-R-A-G-R-E-A-T, the number one, the number two, @gmail.com. You can contact me there, and I'll send you the link for voting in the contest. Let's see. Phone number 386-427-4617. Be glad to hear any input. You want to chat? I'd be delighted. There's the three Michael contests, global talk radio, .com. Vote for the three Michaels, radio show.
Great. Michael, it's been a pleasure having you on with me. You know, hopefully a lot of people listen, they'll order your book, and they'll vote for you, and I wish you the best of luck.
Thanks, Nancy. It's been a joy, and you do a wonderful job here, and I just love your vision. Want to see it come to fruition.
Me too. But thank you. Anyway, you take care, and thanks again, Michael.
Thanks, Nancy.
I'd like to thank you, the listeners. May God bless all of you. I hope you have a great week. Take care, and happy Easter to everybody, and we'll talk soon. Bye now.